Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
What is International Mission all about? In studio with us today, the Reverend Daniel McMiller is Executive Director of the LCMS Office of International Mission. Dan, such a joy to have you in studio this morning. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Good to be back. It's been a long time.
I know. It's been quite a while since we've had a chance to talk to you because you're always somewhere on the globe. But
Leaving
or
soon.
In a meeting. Wow. And so we really appreciate this chance to talk
Thank you.
Yeah. Now director of International Mission, recently installed after John Foley retired not too long ago. You were installed this summer, I believe. Is that correct? And
yes.
Now director of International Mission. You have experience as a missionary, though. Lots of many years of experience as a missionary. Tell us your missionary story. When did you first go into the mission field?
I was called in 1985. I was called out of seminary to a home mission in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. My father was a Missouri Synod pastor. Long story, so I won't get into it here, but I ended up at the ELS seminary after graduating from UW-Madison with mainly languages and history. And was a home missionary, but the same in that little church body, the same board that called me to the home mission then told me I'm going to Peru. Of course, if I was agreed to, but at that time there was a lot of terrorism, Sendero Luminoso, Shining Path, as a church planter, and accepted it. 1986, early like February, we deployed after doing support raising. Did church planting and some teaching of future pastors in a lengthy theological education program we had for the Peruvians. And then from there, I was targeted by two different Shining Path groups, had a price on my head, and people were put in danger around me because of that. So they said, we got to move you. It's time. So the two church planters, myself and another one, were told to go to Chile. And like a fool, I said, no, I don't want to go. And they said, no, you really should, because it's exceedingly dangerous. And we had attempts on our lives too. So, but they said, okay, you can stay if you're going to do theological education and work with bringing others to ordination. And I said, no, I'll be a church planter. I'll go to Chile. So I did that, started from scratch, and within about 2.5 years, I had about 100 people in my parish, and about 80 in another, and about 50 confirmed. 50 in worship, I should say 50 in worship. So the Lord blessed that work in Santiago, Chile. And then I decided to colloquize to the Missouri Synod. And after working in a large parish where I also served in Hispanic ministry as the chairman of the Hispanic Task Force and assisting our Hispanic pastors in the Milwaukee area, I took a call back to Panama under the Office of International Missions, or then World Missions, and did pastoral formation and church planting. I planted a few churches and helped a national church, of course, in that process of resuscitating some congregations and bringing our first men to ordination, putting together curriculum, and being the president of the mission. So it was administrative, it was teaching, but it was also church planting. So I always enjoy church planting. That's always, I wasn't sent to church plant, but the National Church and others requested that I assist in those roles, so I did.
That's a long and really incredible story, actually.
I don't tell my wife, listen, if I fall over dead, I've lived three lives. Don't worry about it. I'm happy.
Well, you mentioned your wife. Your family has been important in this journey for you as well.
Yeah, my wife Lisa is a music educator. She has a degree in elementary education, and she used her music in Peru to teach young men and women Western instruments, and then they use what they learned from my wife, be it piano, guitar, or recorder, and transpose that into the Andean music. And then we had Andean, which I think people know, the charanga, the Kena, and the Samponio, Samponya, I'm forgetting, it's 30 years ago. But they took these native instruments, and which is different modes, different tones, but they would do the divine service, matins, vespers, and it sounded like you were at a nightclub. I'm not kidding you, but they're just doing hymns and canticles. And I thought, man, this is good. So she taught a generation of young people there in Peru, did some of that in Chile, but we had children, and then did it again more in Panama. But in Peru, the children of those young people are still very, very musically inclined and helping in that church, that mission of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. I hear I don't read anything about it. It kind of hurts to read about it, but people tell me about it, and it's wonderful to hear the impact of my wife's work, too.
That's awesome. Why is it important for the LCMS to have missionaries in the field among the people?
I do now, as the executive director of International Missions, view things from the perspective of a church planter and a long-term missionary. And I really believe that it's important that the LCMS continue to send missionaries long-term, because it takes a long time to understand context. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, a lot of people understand that in their local neighborhood. They'll do the demographic studies, they'll try to get to know their neighborhood, get an assessment of the needs of the people, knock on doors, and all the most recent church planting information tells us that we have to be able to enter into our local community more effectively. Our schools are 10 times more integrated culturally and ethnically than our congregations. Our congregations are these homogeneous units surrounded by diversity and not reflecting the community. So there's this huge push to understand your context so that you can deliver the goods of forgiveness of sins and rightly divide the word of truth and speak to the people as Christ sent us to do and serve and love these people along with our congregations, but our community. And we're very in tune to that in our own context. But somehow we we throw that out the window and we say, I'm going to go over and be a missionary in Western Africa. Well, what do you know about it, Western Africa? Not much. Have you ever been there? No. Do you speak any language? No. Do you understand? Do you know any people? No. But I want to be a missionary in Western Africa for a week. We have a lot of congregations, a lot of individuals who want to impact someplace across the ocean and throw out the principles that they use in their own community. And God is calling us to serve him and bring the gospel to others. But where is he doing that within my current vocation? A missionary has that call from Christ through the church, and he can do that long term and taking the time to understand their history, understand their language, understand their celebrations. Where do they suffer? What are the trends in that context, and how can I better communicate when I'm sitting across the table for coffee or stopping by the mechanic shop to visit with him because he was in church last Sunday and getting to know his family? How can I really understand that? It took me months and months and months of visiting different shops in Santiago, Chile, through people that I met at a baptism, an emergency baptism I was asked to make. So I just visited their shops, and it took me months. Well, eventually I confirmed 30-some people there. But it took time. It takes time.
It takes getting to know the people, getting to understand the context. We have less than a minute left. Give us a quick rundown of where we have missionaries serving around the world in like 30 seconds. I know that's a fun challenge.
Well, we have missionaries in nearly 40 countries, but they are working with twice that many countries. In Africa, we have about 18 families. In Asia, we have, and that counts single person households. In Asia, we have the largest number of households. It sounds impersonal, but missionaries called or solemnly, I like to say happily instead of solemnly appointed, about 35, Latin America about 30, and Europe about 20. And adds up roughly to about 125 in vast variety of circumstances.
The Reverend Daniel McMiller, Executive Director, LCMS Office of International Mission. Dan, thanks so much for being with us, and blessings. God bless all the missionaries serving around the globe to bring the good news of Jesus to so many people.
Thank you, Andy.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.